sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 115. Make this whole world believe us. My motto is stack rocks like Colorado. Waddle off the champagne, Chris Styles by the bottle. It's a damn shame what you're not. Who, me? Slick like a Gatto fucking Jay-Z. My pops knew exactly what he did when he made me, you ready? Try to get a nut, and he got a nut, and a what? you kids don't get it. Straight bananas, can a nigga see me? Got the U.S. Open, advantage jigger. Serve like Sampra, play fake rappers like a campus. La Tigra, son, you're too eager. You ain't having it good, me either. Let's get together and make this whole world believe us, huh?
Message.
Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host. Woo, okay, pardon, c'est un peu fort. Dans mes écouteurs, je vais faire un petit ajustement là. Pardon, donne-moi une seconde. Ok, hold on a sec. Okay, I'm fucked it up, made it worse. Okay, we're good. Okay, I'm sorry. On recommence. Welcome and bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzard, aka B Dot Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to welcome you new listeners. You know, welcome, you know, kick off your feet. Glad you could have made it. You could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here with me today. But I got to warn some of you listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And it weighs a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. Rouge bleus up in this bitch. I'm gonna make that. Yeah, okay. Who knows? You know, I might remix that. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is October 4th, 2023, and this episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. Should I say it the other way around? This episode is being recorded unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. Today's date is October 4th, 2023. And it's fucking hot. 30 plus degrees out there. Well, it was plus 30 plus degrees out there. Anyways. Finally, this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. God damn. Jesus Christ. Hold on. Bear with me, man. I know it wasn't that shawarma. Yeah, I know on the last episode I had a cold. I was feeling better. And now, you know what? It's not a cold. It's allergies, man. Something in this room is triggering my allergies and causing my throat to sound the way it sounds right now. Like, I don't know if you can hear it, but it's like my voice has a reverb, internal reverb going on here. But bear with me, folks. Bear with me. All right, yeah, that was a longer than usual introduction, wasn't it? Oh, right. Okay. Hey, new listeners, check this out, right? My episodes, the way I break it down into three parts, column acts, if you will. First act is the introduction, which is what I'm doing right now. Second is news and random thoughts. Last is final thoughts. And then in your introduction, I like to do shit like, you know, like play the theme, break down the kind of episode that you're kind of podcast you're listening to, warn white people that this is not the place to fucking to remind me about your white fragility. Mature themes advice. And finally, I like to do shit like read out quotes, a quote or thoughts. And the first one is, I'm a funny guy, is got this from Instagram. It goes, being a kind person means being kind to yourself too. That's a powerful one. All right, second one is, and it's more of a thought. And I, I forgot to load it. Yeah, it's more of a thought. And it's, I thought I did load it. Hold on a second. It's from someone I follow on Instagram, and she's a highly sensitive, what's her title? She's a Life by Lisa. She is a highly sensitive person. Oh, mentor. Is that it? Mentor. Yes. Thought it was coach, but doesn't matter. All right. Highly sensitive person, mentor. Yes. Pronouns, she, her. Right. Digital creator. Anyways, I, every once in a while, she'll post something that I really like and have a strong urge to share on the podcast. But you should check out her shit, right? This is not, okay, I'm not trying to, check out her shit, even though I'm not subscribed to any of it. I just like the free shit that she puts out. Not to say that I'm, okay, great, now I sound like a freeloader. Anyways, I'm promoting her shit, all right? And this time, the thought goes, if it will load, hold on a second. Oh, man, come on, man. Work with me. You guys can't see. Sometimes I think maybe I should share my screen so you can see the difficulty I'm having with this motherfucking computer. Okay, this ain't it. This is not what I wanted to. There we go. Oh, my God. That was difficult. Okay. And, Life by Lisa writes, you weren't meant to be like everyone else. You crave a meaning and depth because you're meant to create more of it in this world. Embrace that. Powerful. Powerful. Okay. Oh, shit. Oh, man. I suck. Okay, hold on a second. I just read the conclusion. Oh, man. Okay. All right. Here's the whole thing. Whew. We're off to a bad start, but bear with me. Okay. One reason being highly sensitive can feel hard is because you're a genuine soul in a surface level world. Interesting. When you're a sensitive soul, you typically aren't satisfied by small talk and surface level conversations. You crave depth, meaning, and real connection. That's true. As a result, you may feel lonely if you don't have people in your life who meet this need for deep connection. In addition to that, you may have had times where you felt like you needed to change who you are in order to fit in. That happened to me a lot when I was a practicing Christian. Maybe you acted interested in things you don't really care about. I could tell you that. Again, that happened to me when I used to be a Christian. Maybe you tried to be a carefree person who stays out all night when all you wanted to curl up in bed with a book. What's wrong with me? Why can't I be like everyone else? You may wonder. For a long time, I know I certainly felt this way. So how do we fix it? How can we be okay with who we are? How can we create those deeper connections we crave when it feels like no one else is willing to meet us there? If we want more meaningful connections in our lives, we must take more emotional risks. Emotional risk may look like sharing vulnerability with someone you've grown to feel safe with. sharing about your big dreams, your life, and telling a story from your childhood. Bring up a topic that you care about, even if you're not sure the other person feels the same way. Shamelessly talking about your love for astrology. Not me, her. Okay. Giving your honest opinion instead of always agreeing. I've been there. Did you actually hate that new movie everyone's obsessed with? Stop pretending to like it. Letting your guard down and showing some of your quirks. Maybe you're amazing at the electric slide, but no one even knows it itself. But what if they don't like me? What if they don't agree? What if they judge me? When we take emotional risks, this is always a possibility. That's why it's called a risk. But without vulnerability, we cannot forge the genuine, meaningful connection that we crave. What if they love you more for it? Oh, interesting. And this is the part that I'm rereading now. You weren't meant to be like everyone else. You crave the meaning and the depth because you're meant to create more of it in the world. Embrace that. Oh, my God. All right. Okay. You know what? That was beautiful. More about that in final thoughts. So, So this concludes the introduction. Now let's jump to news and random thoughts. Okay? Boys and girls, you ready? All right. Hang on. Okay. Before I continue, I'm going to try to lubricate my throat here. Woo! This episode is also brought to you by the H2O. Okay, guys, you know what happened? Excuse me. I just had a shawarma. Okay, and I feel better. I just haven't blamed the shawarma, but I think the garlic just, like, dehydrated me or something. But it's not really the garlic, but it's more the... it's not the garlic. It's more that I ate a shitload of it. Basically, I got the itis. I'm doing this podcast while suffering from the itis. So I'm trying to rush through this shit while fighting the urge to fall asleep. Finally, boopsie dado. Okay. All right, let's power through this shit, man. All right, about the quote that I read, you know what? I was going to share some more thoughts about it, but you know, I'll save it for final thoughts. Here's a random thought. I was parking yesterday, and actually what happened is, okay, long story short, I was going to turn left, and the person who I was going to turn left in on not an intersection but in a busy intersection, and in the lane I wanted to turn in, the car lets me in. So I was grateful for their action. So the best I could do is, you know, try not to get in this person's way. And then what bothered me is now on my right is a parking that I wanted. So I pull up, try to get out this person's way because it was in one lane, because I was feeling grateful that they let me into the lane. And I was, I pulled up to the right, put up my signals, and I see that they can't move, so I got to rush this parallel park. And the thing is, the thing with parallel parking, I don't know about you, maybe some of you are expert, but I'm kind of person who needs to focus and concentrate and take my fucking time. But I remember freaking the fuck out because I was thinking about the person behind me who was courteous enough to let me in the lane, and now I'm the asshole in her way, slowing shit down. Like, I put her in a position where she's regretting, fuck, I shouldn't have let that nigger in, and whatever. I'm not saying that's what she was thinking, but that's what it was going through my mind. So I rushed this parallel parking. And the way parallel parking, it was one of those sidewalks that you have to drive on, and there's like a pole that prevents you from hitting pedestrians. I don't know. I guess that's why those poles are there. Anyways, I was rushing. Yo, I nearly bumped my car into that pole because I was rushing to get out of the person's way. This kind person who allowed me to get in front of their car and park. And the song by Ludacris, "Boo, Bitch, Get Out the Way, Get Out the Way," was in my head. Now, I agree with the sentiment of "move." You know, if you're on the slow lane, get the fuck out of my way. If you're driving slow, get the fuck off the speed lane. I totally agree with that sentiment. But in that particular situation, I recognized that I should have just taken my time. Like, in that moment, I realized I was going through one of those things where, oh man, there goes B-Black, scared of taking space. The funny thing about me talking about taking space is that I'm a 6'1", 300-pound black guy. So I'm already taking up another space. But mentally, there's a part in me that's like, yo, shut the fuck up. Be silent. Move out of people's way. Anyway, yeah, I remember just that stress of parallel parking, and all because I didn't want to be a burden to that person. And I don't know, I just had this quick reflection of, oh, the way this reflection came to mind is because I remember I was driving away. Okay, I'm going to have to suck on a fisherman's friend. Shout out to all you non-Canadians wondering, what the fuck? Is he talking about fellatio on his podcast? No, I'm talking about, I'm not going to do that. What do you call that? Lozenger. Something's up with this trope. Anyways, yeah. What was I? All right, I was driving home, and I was driving down the parkway, and I'm realizing that not all you people have parkways. I hope you know what a parkway is. Yeah, I'm not fucking explaining. Google it, man. All right, so I'm driving down a parkway, and it's a one lane, and the car in front of me is driving slow. Now, I say slow. It's the kind of parkway people usually drive fast, but this person was driving the speed limit. So by my standards, that's driving slow. And as I'm, of course, I take my time with this person. I'm like, all right, okay, that's what it's going to be. I didn't allow it to get to me. I wasn't impatient, but I was just, all right, you're driving the limit, so I'm going to keep my distance. I wasn't an asshole who, like, speeds up behind them, flashes their high beam. I was like, okay, you're in front of me. You get to decide the speed, the speed of traffic. And I remember driving and it hit me. I'm like, that's what taking up space means. See, I was raised or grew up with the idea that, yo, it's up to you to make sure people are never angry at you. And holy shit, this should have been a final thought now that I think about it. But whatever, we're here already. I'm sharing this lesson. I'm saying, as I'm behind them, if I was that person in front of them and the person behind me is like angry at me, flashing his beam, that's not my fucking problem. I could take all the time because again, dude was driving that driver was driving the limit. So they're within the law. If police were to pull us over, I'd be the one at fault for rushing them. So what I'm saying is I just had gotten so used to dealing with impatient people, conforming to impatient people, trying not to get on the bad side of impatient people, only realized that, you know what? Fuck it. I'm no longer making impatient people's problem my problem, man. You impatient? Fuck it. And if you want to take it, you know, if you want to handle that shit like some gangster shit, then fuck it. So be it. I'm just saying, it just hit me in that moment of, it's not my responsibility to appease an impatient person. If I'm going to drive, it's my responsibility to drive safely and to drive in a way that's comfortable and to not get into an accident. And if that means driving the speed limit, then goddammit, drive the speed limit. Even though there's like 20 cars behind you wishing you would get the fuck out of their way. Fuck them. I guess that's my point, man. Like, I'm not saying go through life being a nuisance. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you people. I'm talking about the people like me who could relate to feeling the need to get, oh shit, I want to get out of people's way. Oh shit, I got to be silent. You know, shit, I don't matter. I'm talking to people who are kinder to others than they are to themselves. That's what I'm saying, man. Part of being kind to yourself is doing shit like take all the fucking time you need to do whatever the fuck you need to do. and a person behind you is angry at that, yo, they could go fuck themselves. Tell them B-Black said go fuck themselves. All right, yeah. All right, and this concludes what I meant by parking my car while thinking of Ludacris. All right. How's my voice? Is it better? Hold on. I really don't like recording myself drinking, but that's where I'm at. I'm the kind of person who gets annoyed when podcasters chew food on the microphone. So I gotta really like your podcast for me to put up with it. But if you're like a new up and comer, this is what it is, man. I need to have like, we gotta be married. We gotta have a marriage relationship because we gotta be married. I have to have like, yeah, as a podcast, death do, what is it? Till death do us part. Because then I'll tolerate, you know, you eating crackers in bed. But if this is a first date, fuck that, man. Yo, fuck that. He's off on the chewing on the radio, man, on the puck in your microphone, especially if you got one of them good mics. All right, okay. Next topic, Major Hype versus Guyana. Now, two reasons why I'm exposing this, I want to share this story, this clip that I just found. Excuse me, on Instagram. Woo, demons in me. First of all, just by way of saying that Major Hype, he's a comedian, if you don't know him, but I think most of us from the Caribbean or African diaspora know Major Hype. He's like a hilarious comedian. He made his name by being able to imitate all our accents, accents from the Caribbean. Like he did, you know what Russell Peters did to South Asians and Asians, his ability to mimic other people's accent? Well, Major Hype did the same. That was like his claim to fame. And he does. He's been in. Money and Violence? But that's not the point. I'm bringing his name up just to say that during my comedy days, I got to open up for him. You know, I mean, I just want to plug that in. All right. Yes, ladies, I'm single. The second reason I bring this up is because Major Hype said something, and it's part of his brand. He said something that pissed off the Guyanese community. But the thing that he said, at first, this is a moment of I was enlightened. I'm sharing this clip because I was enlightened. Because at first, he said something that I didn't think was bad. I'm like, yeah, fuck, well, the fuck you guys pissing off, man? Fucking woke media won't allow a comedian to make his earning. And then this TikToker drops some science. You know what? I'm going to call this. This is going to be a you must learn moment, right? This, you know, I'm going to play the clip because I forget the name. I don't have the name of this this content creator. But drop science about why Guyanese take it as a disrespect to be told they're not part of the Caribbean, even though, despite the fact that their country is physically not located in the Caribbean. I had no idea, but this sister breaks it down in a way that I would have never been able to do it. But let me share it, and then let's all learn together. Here we go. Here we go.
Curry chicken or chicken curry?
It's definitely curry chicken.
Okay. Oh my god.
The only person that you're going to hear say that is Guyanese people.
Exactly.
And they're not Caribbean, so.
Why are Guyanese people Caribbean?
Because it's in South America.
It's not, yeah. Oh.
We showed them love. We accepted them, but they're not Caribbean.
So let me explain to you why I'm offended, and I'm not even Guyanese, and then you'll probably understand why Guyanese people are so mad and have basically canceled Major Hype. Mm. So I'm from Belize, a Caribbean country in Central America. Right. So when he said what he said about Guyana, he might as well have said it about Belize. I got heated. I got so mad. I even started doing something that I never do. Arguing with ignorant people in the comments who feel that they're so bright because they know geography. Everybody knows Guyana is geographically located in South America and Belize is geographically located in Central America. But geography isn't the only thing that defines the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Obviously, these people and Major Hype failed social studies. Belize and Guyana are culturally and historically a part of the Caribbean. And it all goes back to us being colonized by Britain, just like Jamaica and Trinidad and Barbados and all of Britain's other former colonies in this region.
Right.
Belize, formerly known as British Honduras, is the only English-speaking country in Central America. And Guyana, formerly known as British Guyana, is the only English-speaking country in South America. We were Britain's only colonies in Central and South America, so they lumped us together with their other colonies nearby, which happened to be Caribbean islands. Now, because of who governed us, we share a lot more in common with Britain's other former colonies in the Caribbean than with the Spanish-speaking countries on the mainland around us. In fact, back in the day, Britain used to bring policemen and civil servants from Jamaica to work in Belize. So our culture evolved very similar to that of the other British colonies in the Caribbean. Right. I speak Belizean Creole, which is very, very similar to Jamaican Creole. I can't even talk Spanish. I only know a few words here and there. I grew up to eat rice and beans, which is exactly the same thing as rice and peas. So when people wonder how I fit in so well in Jamaica, it's because it literally feels like an extension of home. And how I know Major Hype and these other ignorant people in the comments are talking crap is because I actually passed CXC from the Caribbean Examinations Council. Mm. You hear my name? Yes, we take CXC in Belize and Guyana because we are part of the Caribbean. Nobody not have to adopt we or accept we.
Right, we accepted them, but they're not Caribbean.
That's why we're also part of CARICOM, the Caribbean community. Mm. In fact, CARICOM headquarters are in Guyana. But why Major Hype's comments hurt so much is because it's an insult to our entire identities. I grew up feeling much more connected to the Caribbean than to Central America.
Right.
Every Belizean grew up listening to reggae, dancehall, and soca, in addition to our own punta music. So to say I am not Caribbean is just as insulting as to say I'm not Belizean. And I'm sure that's how Guyanese people feel too, and why they're so vexed. Being Caribbean is so much a part of our identities from birth that it hurts for someone who's also presumably Caribbean to say, oh, you're not actually one of us. We accept you because you hang around us, but you're not really one of us. It's divisive and it's hurtful. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe it was meant as a joke as how he claims, because the way how he said it, it was like he was explaining a fact. Mm-hmm. And if it was supposed to be a joke, he needs to understand that, you know, run that kind of joke. You know, funny. It's a sensitive issue, especially for us as Belizeans, because we often feel excluded and it's like a fight to be recognized anyway. Every time I say I'm from Belize, I have to give a whole history and geography lesson. Which, by the way, Major Hype is actually doing a big show in Belize this weekend. Oh. And I hope he sees this before the show so he can get it. Somebody just tag him in the comments and let him know. The reason he's popular there is because he's a Caribbean comedian,
right.
And we relate to that as Caribbean people. Now, just to be clear and to answer some of the people in the previous comments, I'm not disputing that Belize is also part of Central America or that Guyana is also part of South America. As a Belizean, I identify as both Caribbean and Central American, but personally, I feel connected more to the Caribbean side because of how I grew up. FYI, people can be two things. It's somewhat like a Jamaican who was born in the States, but whose parents raised him as Jamaican. You're geographically located in the US, but your parents taught you how to speak patois and cook oxtail and curry goat. You would identify as both American and Jamaican. As a country, our parent/colonizer was Britain,
right.
And we were raised with Britain's other kids and became part of that culture. The only difference is we were on the mainland and the others were islands. Now, granted, Belize's population has shifted over the past 20 years,
yeah.
And I'm sure there are Belizeans who feel more connected to Central America than to the Caribbean, but that's a whole nother conversation for another time. But anyway, I hope that clears things up explains why I personally took the Guyana comments so personally and why Guyanese people are as upset as they are. And if you disagree with me, just block yourself and unfollow me one time because I'm sensitive about this issue.
I hear you, sister.
Some Major Hype gone and stir up Iron's nest with this comment.
All right. All right. There's a loop on the video, so I had to stop it. It was just going to repeat itself. But yeah, what you should have heard was...
must learn.
Yeah, here we go. Ready? Here, all I'm going to say is, yo, sister broke it down, said everything that needed to be said. I love that she said that it's a sensitive topic. And for some of you people out there, like, sensitivity is not a thing for you. It's like, well, I don't give a... It's not my fault you're sensitive. But here, what I'm going to say is, black people. I'm talking to black people. Because white folks still, and I still haven't figured it out. But black people, we need to remember that slavery fucked us up. To a point that we're learning, we're still learning on how much it fucked us up. And for a Guyanese woman to be out there and break it down the way she did, it's like, y'all bad, fuck. We were raised by these fucking, we were enslaved by the fucking British, man. We can't be talking that shit like that, what's that word? Sovereignty thing. Like, we don't have borders. Our borders are all fucked up, man. You know what our borders were? They were our chains. They were the last names of our fucking slave owners. All I'm saying is, she deserved to be heard. Heed the word of the sister. Those words need to be. She deserved to be heard. Now, there's a chance that, knowing Major Hype, he was trying to be funny. I get that. But at a certain point, you need to acknowledge when the joke is no longer funny. Or when, for you, it's ha ha ha, you're not really part of the Caribbean. And I say that as a Haitian, someone who grew up Haitian, and because I spoke French, I'm like, ha ha ha, you're not really from the Caribbean. So what the fuck? Oh yeah, I used to love those fights. But black people are always looking for reasons to, like, you're not really one of us, and whatever. So yeah, I can relate to the, hey, you're not really one of us type of argument. So where was I going with this? Yeah, you know what? No, I can't have a conversation with people who are just going to dismiss all this as, yo, it was just a joke. Calm the fuck down. Nah, man. In this particular situation, her words, the knowledge she just shared with us is greater than the punchline that Major Hype was trying to attempt with consistently saying, because at this point, you're not trying to make people, okay, you're probably making people laugh, but you're not trying to make Guyanese people laugh. I'm sure there's a Guyanese person who found that funny, but I'm saying, I'm from the school of, yo, if we're not all laughing, then, wait, I was trying to say justice for all is justice for none. I'm just saying, look, man, I love the kind of jokes that where everyone laughs, including the person the joke is against, or the person you're making fun of. But anyways, all right. Yo, that was a long clip. I missed that whole part. You know, okay, yeah. I was so focused on what she said at the beginning that I didn't pit. And whatever. Shout out to, shit, hold on a second. Content creator. You know what? Links will be in the show notes. I don't have the name of the content creator, but links will be in the show notes. You can do your own research and identify this content creator. All right. I was supposed to have a clip for this, but I don't have it, right? Next item in Tupac news. Shout out to you Tupac fans who what's the name of that album? Not Ready to Die. That's Biggie. Me Against the World. No, that's not the name of the album. Is it Me Against the World? Hold on a second. Great. I can't remember Tupac album's name. Hold on a second. Ayoy. Jimalo, hey. Okay, sorry. Me Against the World. Holy shit. Trust your memory, B-Black. All right. Yeah, it starts with... in Tupac news... Yeah, that was a bad joke. All right. So in the last episode, I talked about how apparently we've identified the person involved in his murder, or one of the person involved in this murder stepped up and identified himself. And I don't know, whatever. Whether it's true, whatever, whatnot. I did a whole thing about violence and you know what? I should have talked about, you know, today's episode was nearly called Streets of Death Row or something along the, because Pac has a rhyme called Streets Are Death Row. And I was talking about how he was violent. And in the last episode, I forgot to mention how Pac came from an environment that was violent. So it would make sense for him to grow up the way he did. Now, why the fuck did a whole bunch of us kids from the suburbs wanted to mimic that violence is another story that I'm sure a smarter person can explain. But that's not what this segment is all about. Apparently, Suge Knight, fucking TMZ, Suge Knight weighed in on the whole. Hold on a second.
Me and Keith.
God damn, yeah. Suge Knight weighed in on the whole Keefe DRS, and here's what he had to say. Here we go.
You know, me and Keefe D played on the same Pop Warner football team.
Same football team.
And whatever the circumstances, if he had an involvement with anything, if he didn't have any involvement in anything, I wouldn't wish somebody going to prison on my worst enemy.
The DA says that Keefe D was in the car with his nephew, and that presumably his nephew, according to the DA, is the one that shot Tupac, and that it was done with the full knowledge of Keefe. Do they have it right?
It was only two people in the car. And Pac not going to tell the story. I ain't going to tell the story, but I tell you this. And I never had nothing bad to say about Orlando because, number one, he wasn't a shooter. Number two, he came to my hearing and told to let me go and tell the truth. They still didn't let me go.
If you are called to testify in this case?
I wouldn't be.
Why not?
Yeah, I wouldn't be.
Why not?
Well, number one, because I'm not going to get on the stand and testify on somebody for what?
They seem to be saying that Orlando was the shooter and Keefe was in on it, that he had full knowledge of what was going down, and it was revenge for Orlando getting beaten up by Tupac and his team at the MGM after the Tyson fight. Is that correct?
No.
Then who shot Tupac?
It wasn't Anderson, so that's all I got to say about that part.
To summarize, you are saying Orlando was not the shooter, although you won't say who the shooter was. You are not saying whether Keefe was involved in any way in the shooting. And you are saying that if you're called to testify by either side, you will not comply. You will not testify. Do I have that right?
1,000%. I wouldn't go. I wouldn't testify. None of that.
Sure, that ain't shit. You know, when I first heard this clip, I was like, you know, okay. Code of the street. He's not allowed to snitch. He's following the code. Like, what's he gonna do? Call the cops to report a murder? Yeah, he's not allowed to do that kind of shit. But on the flip end, it's funny. The second time I'm listening to it, I'm like, asshole. What the fuck? So does this mean? You know, at this point, I guess Sorry, here, I'm gonna complete my thought. The thought was, does this mean no revenge? Tupac didn't get any revenge. Nothing happened. Like, his death happened, and we just let it. Like, the one guy who could have done something about it, you just let it slide. But here's the thing is, in that world, they don't have their own CNN. I would like to believe that whoever killed Tupac, justice, revenge was served. I would like to believe that. I'm just saying. I would like to believe that he was avenged. And that Suge Knight is not out here being like, I ain't doing shit. Fuck of that. They killed my prodigy. But here's the thing. If he did have something to do, I feel like Avon Barksdale. If we did have something to do with it or didn't, it's none of your business. You don't need to know that shit. It's like, yeah, I don't think, fuck the news, man. I don't think I'm in the demographic of human beings who will be privileged or entitled of knowing what happened to Pac after he died. And I guess I just need to make peace with the fact that he's gone and that's it. Like, he won't be avenged. Like, there's not going to be a court case. Like, for all we know, KVD didn't kill him, wasn't involved in the, like, you know, like, I don't think people like me will ever know what really happened. Like, the news kids keep saying shit, but I don't think it's I don't know. Anyways, there's gonna be a lot of details that comes out. I don't know what to believe, and But I think I just need to just let it go, man. Pac died. He was a great artist. And this is one of those, don't be sad because it's gone. Be happy that it happened type shit. I forget the quote, but something like that. Oh, yeah, I remember that rumor. I'm reading the comment section. Suge shot him. Yeah, I remember hearing that rumor. But that's my point. I don't think I will ever know what really happened. And I'm just going to leave it at that, man. Yeah, I'm bothered by Tupac's death. Yeah. All right. What else do I got? Okay, I'm looking at the time. Okay, I'm going to rush these next two items. Actually, not this item, okay? I was thinking about this next item. I had me thinking about how I remember the first time learning what self-esteem meant or being confident, how confidence looked like. And realized, once I learned the definition, realized that all the people that I thought were like had high self-esteem or were confident were bullshitting. Like the brag, like I thought people who brag were cocky. But no, for the most part, they're just being insecure and they have the same insecurity that I had, but they're just going about it differently from me. I bring this up because it made me realize that I've never had an example of what it means to have a high self-esteem. Yeah, I remember discussing it with my therapist at the time. And she was giving me names. I'm like, that's an example of high self-esteem. I'm like, how is it? Anyway, here's where I'm going with this. This next clip is about Destiny's Child. And they're being asked a question by the interviewer. And they respond. And I'm using this as an example of what it means to be a secure human being. A human being who is secure in who they are. All right? All right, I'm going to play it. Here we go.
Given that she is rising now as a star, when you look back...
I'm going to refresh, see if I can... Here we go. This is Destiny's Child?
Beyonce was favorite. Given that she is rising now as a star, when you look back... Were they in some ways right?
Can I keep it real with you? These are three very secure women that you are looking at right now. And the reason why we're still here is because we're secure and we love each other and we support each other. Anything else does not fit.
Beyonce was favorite.
So like I said, Destiny's Child, you can see the look on Beyonce's face. And then there's Michelle. And right. I guess I should add from context, this is also based on an interview question that I read a while back, and it was Michelle responding to the stupid, I'm going to call it stupid, a stupid question of, hey, how does it feel to be number three? You know, you got Beyonce, and you're over here. Beyonce's up here, and you're over here. And it wasn't insulting. Michelle responded perfectly. Perfectly because she showed me a world that I didn't realize existed. And that's a world where what it looks like to be secure and what you are. Basically, Michelle pretty much explained, I'm happy for my sister Beyonce where she's at. With that said, I'm grateful. I'm also happy of what I've accomplished myself. I'm not competing with her. I'm in my lane. She's in her lane. I'm doing my thing. She's doing her thing. She went right. I went left, you know, and there's no regret. And the thing is, these interviewers, and it's not, I'm not just blaming the interviewer, but it's this the world, the society that we live in is, no, we want to see a rivalry. We want to hear you call her a bitch. We want to hear you make up excuse to why you are, well, she robbed my money. She slept with my man. You know what I mean? Fuck this happy, supportive shit. Fuck that. We're trying to teach girls how to be competitive with each other. Anyways, I just love how Kelly responded to the interview and solidified the notion that you're talking to two secure people. You're not going to bring them down with these stupid questions. I know you're trying to sell magazines. I know you need a headline. I know you need a quote oh, Beyonce, talk shit about, you know, you. I know you need that, but you're not going to get it from these two. And for that, I am grateful for Destiny's Child. I'm grateful for that moment. Oh, they're not perfect. Take it easy, people. Yeah, but I'm saying, sorry, this is me being, when I say they're not perfect, what I mean by that is I'm trying to avoid putting him on the pedestal because of this moment. But what I am saying, this example they're showing of what it means to be secure, what it means to be happy for your friend. I'm sure it's not easy for, okay, I was going to say, maybe it's not easy for Kelly and Michelle, but who knows? Maybe their bond as siblings, well, they're not actually siblings, as sisters, is so strong. They couldn't give a fuck. They know how this industry works. You know what? It kind of reminds me of the first time I discovered the black guy who tips. And the first few episodes. And I realized that something was wrong with me when I finished listening to the third episode. And my first question was, how come these two weren't fighting? How come she didn't call him a nigga? How come he ain't bragging about all the chicks that he slept with behind her back? How come all this talk, how come they're not being toxic? What's their problem? And I realized every image of relationships that I've been looking at were like meant to sell ad space with bullshit. Was not reality, was not meant in reality. Yeah, most of my examples of secure, like Donald Trump growing up was my examples of what it means to be a strong, confident man. Who knows, maybe he believes in his own bullshit, but Donald Trump is not the symbol of what's the word I'm looking for? Being secure in your own self. Donald Trump is an asshole. You know, being a good, a decent human being. I'm rich. Yeah, take the money away. What do you have? Anyway. So let me not ruin this great example. But yeah, links in the show notes. Shout out to these two, to these three sisters. And I wish them much success. All right. Okay. So this last example. Okay. It's a long clip. I'm not going to play it, but I'll leave it in the show notes. But I am going to recommend you listen to it. And it's an example of what I mean by growth.
Conversation with.
Oops. Okay. So the content creator's name, I couldn't find the original video. So the one you're going to get, the link that I have is on Trump. The content creator's name is Danny F. Collins. He's a white man. He's a white boy. And he's responding to the question, what changed your mind on Trump? Now, I've seen his content before. There's another content where he talks about, yo, when I finally realized the shit black people went through. Now, I don't want to be here and praise a white man for doing the right thing, but that's the way for the world we live in. But I am going to praise this human being for growth, for starting out with one mindset and seeing the lies and growing into embracing the truth. And I wish that for all of us. Like, that's like what he did inspires me to be a better human being. Now, not to make excuses for white people, but I am going to say that it's an up, fuck it. No. It's an uphill battle for a white person to not be racist. It's pretty much, look, if you talk to me about, yo, it's impossible for me to be racist, you're a fucking racist. If you really understood racism, you would realize that, yo, I think of white supremacy as the, like that disease in, like that, not the disease, yeah, disease, or that condition, that virus. Think of it as a virus in The Walking Dead. We all got it. We've all been affected by it. And it's up to you to acknowledge it and grow out of and work around it, deal with it. But we will never, being that we were raised, grew up, born into a white racist, white supremacist society, all of us are affected by this virus. Now, as a black person, it's easier to see it and work on it and deal with it. But as a white person, benefiting from it, sucking at the teat of white supremacy, it's a challenge. It's a fucking challenge. And what this white boy is pretty, after I listened to him, he said shit like, I learned about Jim Crow. So what the fuck, a white boy? I learned about the prison industrial complex. I recognize that I went in jail for a crime that a black person would have gotten more time, like acknowledging shit like that. He's not out there going, I'm a good white person. Oh, I never use the N-word. No, it's just being able to see the matrix for what it is. Being able to acknowledge white supremacy is like, for me, is like an accomplishment for a human being. Because the average white person, fuck that, man. The average white person in this system, you were designed to be part of the system and support it. Keep it going. Like, it's your heir. To be a human being and realize that, yo, this air that I've been breathing is not good for me, it's an amazing thing. Like, people like that inspire me to deal with my own transphobia, my own homophobia, all my phobias, to deal with my phobia. Like I know that there's parts of me that still has patriarchy, misogyny inside of me, but I'm working on it. I deal with it. I'm acknowledging it. I'm open to criticism, so to speak. I'm open to criticism, but open to learning. And I'm just saying, yeah, man. So shout out to the homie. I'm going to leave because it's a 5-minute clip. So it's a 4-minute, 51-second clip. I'll leave it for you to listen to it. But this is just me acknowledging Danny. Oh, did I mention his name? His content creator's name is Danny F. Collins. And the clip that I'm sharing in the show notes is called What Changed Your Mind on Trump? All right. Okay. That's it. Okay, all right, this concludes News and Random Thought, boys and girls. Okay, let's jump to final thoughts, and then I let you get back your life, take back your life, take back your time, regain your time. I need a better word to say. I'll let you get the fuck out of here. All right, okay, here we go. God damn. I should hit pause to get a Kleenex. Maybe that's why. You know what's going on? I got this post-nasal drip going on. Anyways, I'm going to talk to my doctor and get some answers, goddammit. Because that nasal drip ain't helping. All right, okay. Final thoughts. I'm not sure if I should call it final thoughts or thought. Doesn't matter. Even though there's several thoughts going on here. So first one is, I just realized that final thoughts, I had difficulty distinguishing final thoughts from news and random thoughts. And final thoughts usually, the thoughts in Final Thought are inspired, usually, that something that either happened or was said during or after therapy. It's usually involved, Final Thought usually around, it's usually therapy related, or it's really usually deep. News and random thoughts are thoughts that are inspired by either news, random thoughts, or all kinds of bullshit. Back in the days, Final Thoughts used to be called This Week in Therapy. But then I change it because I'm like, okay, because I'm like, this has nothing to do with therapy. But I didn't realize at the time what I was saying is this week, the thoughts that I had after my last therapy session. But here's the thing with therapy, sometimes you don't have a breakthrough during your session. Sometimes you have them after. But anyway, yeah. So final thoughts inspired during by therapy. Sorry, I don't know where that sound came from. Second one, you know, this is random, just came out, but it kind of relates. But I'm like, what if I was meant to be a writer? Maybe that's what this podcast is all about. I bring this up because I was feeling good after reading, I wrote into the Black Guy Who Tips. Sent a comment, and it was a tough email for me to write. I'll explain why it was a tough email. It was just tough because I just struggled at writing. not ABCs, but getting my thoughts to shut the fuck up. Getting my brain to cooperate with me and write a letter and not overthink it and not make it overcomplicated and make it too long and then give up on it and stop writing it. I was feeling good about the fact that I wrote into Black Guy Who Tips. They read my email and it was taken exactly in the intention I wanted it. In the intention it was meant to be sent. It was written. Like, that was a score for me. I hate being misunderstood. I hate when, oh, shit, you can hear the person misunderstanding what you meant, and then you're like, and then I start over with, oh, I should have used that word. I should have used that verb. I should have. Like, I hate that moment where you're like, no, that's not what I meant to say, which is frequent, and as a result, it affects my ability to, it adds to the list of reasons to why I struggle to write shit. But the thing is, when I get it right, I get it right. And the thing is, when I get it right, I feel really good about myself. And this is somewhat related to last therapy session, but I just had a moment when I realized I love self-respect. Part of what I'm doing with this podcast, speaking out, is because I think these are shit that I want to put on paper, but I just don't have the patience to do so. So either A, I was meant to be a writer and I just need to work on my patience, or B, nah, I wasn't meant to be a writer and this patience is all normal. This impatience on my part is all normal. But I'm also thinking about emails I want to send it. I want to write into like Canada Land. I just heard the recent episode. What was it called? Canada Land. And it was in French. Oh, Detour, right? And it was in French. And the reason why, I just want to write into the, like, there's no nice way of saying, I want to tell the host of Detour, so no say, c'est Emily? Emily, Michel? No, hold on a second. Let me look this up. I hate sites with too many advertisements. Hold on a second. Let me close this. All right, it's called, it's called, no, this episode called this. Not the back bench. Calls the back bench. Detour avec Emily Nicolas. All right. Okay. Right, man. Un balado. Oh, balado. I think that means podcast. Bimensuel de discours sur l'actualité et les médias animé par Emily Nicolas. Emily Nicolas uses the same recipe of Canada Land, but does it in French. And does it very well. Like, they did a good job in picking her to as the animatrice, as the animator, how do you say that in English? The MC. And I'm trying to get the name. Here's my point to what I'm saying is, her and two of her, her guests, were speak in French, French-Canadian, about the situation in India. And my mind was exploding at the science. Like,
you must learn
moments on the podcast. Like, they were dropping science. And what blew my mind is, so the part of my brain that's used on processing information in French was not used to an intelligent conversation about other people's culture in French. Usually I'm used to, ah, les Chinois, les si, ouais, en Inde, les Hindous, puis ouais, ça mange ça, puis qu'est-ce qu'ils mangent en hiver, puis ils viennent dans notre pays. Like, I'm used to fucking the most ignorant shit. Here's the thing about French Canadians, right? And I learned this from French Canadians. I learned this through French Canadians. I realized the lower you are on the white people totem pole, the more racist you tend to be. So in Canada, yeah, French people are like the number twos of white people. Yeah, fuck it. You don't get mad at me. Get mad at the English, all right? You're the number two of this goddamn country, all right? You're a fucking minority just like me. And that's why you're mad at us. Anyways, I am so used on them. If I'm talking on the radio, public access, public television, whenever there's a discussion about other people's culture, especially non-white cultures, it's fucking ignorant. There's nothing smart. Like, I'm used to tuning it off. So I'm listening to these ladies talk, and I'm like, what the fuck? My brain is like, hey, I'm learning. En français, en plus. So, what were they talking? Yeah, okay, I was kind of hoping she'd mention J'ai eu le célèbre journaliste Émilie Nicolas distribué les médias who her co-hosts were. Because one of them, she was, apparently she was half white, half Indian. And that blew my mind. Because at first I thought she was a white woman. And then I'm like, wait a minute. You're a half Indian woman speaking that kind of French? I was like, yeah, kind of racist on my part. But I'm just saying, I am so used to, French people are the kind of people who will do shit. Okay, you know, okay, French Canadians, you know what they do? Not too long ago, a few years ago, actually, they had a play about, was it Harriet Tubman or slavery with only white people? And the director was like, and when they got the backlash, they were like, what? I don't get what? What the fuck? I don't see race. What do you mean? There's no black people here. I don't see race. How am I supposed to know if there's black people here if I don't see? It was like, like that kind of fucking ignorance. A prime minister, Justin Trudeau, when he came out with blackface, I'm like, dude, he's French Canadian. Was not fucking surprised. And if you're French Canadian, go down and put the dresses, go fuck yourself. All right? Wait a minute. The fuck you doing listening to this podcast in the first place? This is not for you. If you're French Canadian and you have the don't have the ability to recognize the racism within your own culture, yeah, fuck that. You're crazy. And this is not a safe space for you. All right, okay. Subscribe. Damn, how come there's no link to Kiss? How come there's no, okay, anyways, I'm a little distracted. Oh, I think I found it. Diplomatie en crise. Pourquoi le Canada fait-il attend de crise pour la relation internationale? Oh, yeah, it was a good interview because it was funny how they were talking about how Justin Trudeau apparently said some things. He was misinformed. I don't know. He had to backtrack saying, hey, don't be killing Canadian citizens on a, he had to tell India, don't be killing citizens on our land. I don't know, whatever, some shit like that. And apparently he had to back down on those words. So what's funny is, and the next day, him in Parliament are applauding a fucking, applauding this old man who used to fight with the Nazis. Like, it was like diplomatie en crise, diplomacy crisis after another. Okay, there it goes. Pourquoi le Canada, there we go. Is this it? Oh, tabarnak, this was it. Okay, nope. I'm looking for the guest editor-in-chief. Oh my God, générique. I'm looking for the name of the guest. Okay, you know what? I should have came prepared. I'm not going to do it. I'm wasting too much time. But holy cow, what am I talking about again? Oh my God, I'm wasting too much time. Yeah, I want to write into Canada Land and say, hey, thank you for not being ignorant, but en français. Merci de d'être français, puis t'es pas ignorant. You know what I mean? I'm just, there we go. Found her name. Micah, like I have to, like I heard this lady speak, and I'm like, I need to see this lady's face because you sound like a white girl. Oh, yeah. Okay. I see it. Yeah, you're half brown. No. Am I confusing people? There's Micah. And then there's... yeah, I could have done this off... Transfer crise and Indian government of playing the assassination of Sikh. Micah Sanjane joins Emily to discuss. Okay, yeah. Anyways, chapeau, ladies. Chapeau. Hat, ladies. It was a great interview. And I learned a lot. En français, which is fucking rare. Right, 3GO. You know what? Okay, I was about to, you know, I'm going to save this for the next episode. I think I might have a segment called Emails I Need to Write. Because then if I speak it out loud, then I know what I'm trying to say, and then I might write it afterwards. Because when I just think it as words, it's like complicated. But if I notice on this podcast, I don't overthink what I'm trying to say. Or maybe I am, but I don't make it as bad. Like, it's worse when I'm writing. Anyways, I am contemplating the possibility that maybe, just maybe, I was meant to be a writer. All right. Before I get to what's up with the title, I'm going to play a clip by Zoe Tyler titled Glossary of Investment of Terms. And then, I'm going to play it because, and then I'll explain why I'm sharing. Well, it's dope, but I'm going to play it and then share some thoughts about it. A quick random thoughts and let you go. So here we go. Bear with me. It's loading. and it's loading.
Thank you for calling the relationship investment firm. My name is Taylor. How may I help you today?
Hi. Yes, our daughter isn't enrolled in your parental investment repayment plan, and we'd like to see if we can update that today.
Oh, of course. Can I just get the account number so I can pull that up for you?
1107-1995.
Okay, great. Okay, I am seeing it here. I'm seeing a payment about 3 weeks ago. It looks like it was a 5-minute phone call initiated by the beneficiary.
I guess we thought the payments would be bigger. We just get these little payments of quick phone calls on our birthdays or on Christmas. We were kind of hoping for like scheduled payments of deep, intimate phone calls and then occasional lump sum payments of in-person visits.
Okay, I see. Yes, yes. We get this call a lot. Super common misconception. So what happens with these kinds of accounts is you open a portfolio and you enroll in a caregiver plan in that portfolio, and you invest and you invest and you invest according to what kind of plan you open. And then after that 18-year trial period is finished, the beneficiary, in this case your daughter, takes what you've been investing over the past 18 years and spreads those investments out. We have a dreams and goals plan, we have a platonic plan, we have romantic plans, we have self-investment, we have freedom to make mistakes plan. We have letting yourself be loved by another human being plans. And yes, we do have that PIR, that parental investment repayment plan that you were referring to earlier. But in this particular case, and in a lot of cases like this, they're really limited in how they can invest because there wasn't much in that initial caregiver plan. There wasn't much investment in that initial caregiver plan.
All right, I'm going to pause it. I'm going to stop it here. Because it's a 4-minute clip. I just recognize it. 4 minute. Oh my God. Yeah. 4 minute, 43 second clip. And hearing it doesn't do it justice. You got to also watch the video at the same time. So I'm pausing here. The reason I'm sharing it is because I thought this shit was clever as fuck. Basically, it's she's. Do I want to use the word parody or making fun or speaking about parents who are pissed at their kids that they don't have the same relationship, like their kids don't respect them like they did back in the day, like their kids ain't loving them, ain't respecting them, ain't giving them the respect and love they believe they're entitled to. Now, it's not that the kid is being mean, but these are parents who never really, whether it's their fault or whatever, but never really developed a, what's the word I'm looking for? Relationship? A healthy relationship with their kids. It was likely one of those, my way or the highway. It was likely one of those, I know what's best for you. It was likely one of those, you live under my roof, I'm going to take that door off your door. It was likely one of those, why aren't you married? Study. It was one of those, I know what's best for you. I'll do all the thinking for you until you get out of my house. And then once the child grows up to be their real self, start living their truths, they realize that part of living their truth doesn't equate them. What I'm getting at is it's a very powerful clip. It's one of those things that if you don't get it, you're not going to get it. But for those of us, this hits home. It's one of those things. It's kind of like one of those poems. It's one of like one of those songs. You're grateful for the artist. You're like, you're talking to me. Like, I know what you meant. I thought this shit was clever as fuck. What really shocked me the most about it, though, is when I looked at the likes, and she's currently, as of this recording, October 4th, 2023, 9:09 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She's at 485,000 likes. Honestly, she turned me into a believer. Had she told me about this clip, this is what I'm going to write, this is what I'm planning on doing, this is before, I would have never imagined it would have gotten that much likes. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm saying she just taught me something about the world we live in. It's one of those situations where, fuck it, I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm just going to show you. She just showed me that there's an audience for this kind of stuff because I would have never believed it. And this is how it relates into therapy, is because I've been realizing a lot of the conversations that I've been having with my therapist. Well, well, part of it is the whole journey has been getting B Black to be the real him. And when I'm realizing part of the real him is there's an artist in there. Like a lot of the conversation, I didn't realize it, but if a lot of the conversation, I'm like, it's like, oh, wow. Oh, my God. When I was talking about writing, I was talking about how writing is so difficult for me because I feel like it's like childbirth. Now, I have no idea what childbirth is like. I mean, I don't know. I don't have any experience in childbirth. I've just seen a lot of videos. And from what I can tell, that shit hurts. It's not instantaneous. It's not just, bloop, baby comes out. It looks painful. Now, from what I can tell, if I was pregnant, yeah, I'm getting an abortion. Fuck that. No baby's coming out of me. Fuck that. I don't care if you're a baby Jesus. You're not getting out of me. It's painful. Where I'm going with this, I'm saying writing shit is that difficult. Where I'm going with this, to set up all this to say, is maybe there is a writer within me trying to birth out of it. Like I feel like therapy session has been her saying push, and I'm like, fuck that. This artist ain't coming out of ain't coming out of me. Okay. Where I'm going with this is, if I was an artist, I'm not saying that I would create content like Zoli Spirit. But I remember believing that the kind of shit that I would make would be in that kind of, not complicated, but like would be commentary. Like I convinced myself that if I was an artist, the shit that I would create, no one would want. And this Zoe Tyler clip showed me that maybe there might be an audience for this guy. Because here's the thing. Had this been me who came up with that idea, no way. Not because it's back. I would have been, yo, this is some clever shit. But I would have believed that, no, it's just going to go over people's head. No one's going to like it. They're just going to dismiss it. And homegirl, it wasn't just enough to like, bam, how you like me now? Check this out. Check out my clip. Glossary of investment and terms. And then boom, 4,885 likes. Excuse me, 485,000 likes. And this is where I'm going. This finally concludes to where I'm going with what's up with the title. I remember looking at that number, the number of likes that she got on this content, on something that had she told me about it, I'm saying like, yeah, I might be the only one who likes this shit. I'm only be, you know, it's imagine listening to your homie's demo tape. And you're like, yo, it's dope, but I don't think anyone's going to like it. And they play it on the radio and everyone likes it. I'm like, yo, my bad, homie. My bad for doubting you. Like, Zoe must have had this incredible belief in her. Like, I don't know what the thought process, how she went from nothing to where she are. All I know is I'm fucking curious I'm curious about her journey. Like, did she start out being like, yeah, I believe in myself? Or was she like, let me give this a try. Oh, wow. My shit is kind of good. Like, I'm so fascinated by her journey. So much that it had me thinking of that line by the Jay-Z in his song, Can't Knock the Hustle. And it kept playing in the back of my head. Make this whole world believe us. What's the actual line? What does he actually say? He says, I really need to do something about that voice. Shout out to all of you who are toughing this out, Keith, because I would have my voice is getting on my own nerves right now. All right. He goes, oh my God, it doesn't matter, right? Cat Knock the Hustle. By the way, I was reading into Cat Knock the Hustle, and there's a lot of deep meaning in that rap song that I need to look into it, but Cat Knock the Hustle is not saying that it's unknockable. What he's saying is, don't knock us. Let me do my thing. Like, Jay-Z has an incredible amount of belief in himself. I don't know if he's faking it or whether it's real, but whatever he's presenting, it's like, oh my, it's to me, it's like fascinating. You know what? To me, it's like walking on water. I imagine the confidence he has in himself, for someone like me, walking on water feels easier than having that kind of belief in yourself. And that's why I'm fascinated by the Zoe Tylers of the world, about how you started out. Were you surrounded by people who believed in you? And you were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, how does that happen? Like, for me, yeah, that kind of idea of that kind of belief in oneself is like, wow. It's walking on the moon would be easier, if that makes sense. But you got to believe in yourself. I know. I fucking know it. I've been hearing it all my life. But whatever happened in my from childbirth to my upbringing, the concept of believing in yourself was like forbidden. Or was like whatever, I don't know, whatever brain mechanism that allows you to believe in yourself, well, for me, it's broken. It's not a self-pity thing. This is, no, it's not just me. There are other people who can relate to I can believe, I'm the kind of person who will believe in other people's craft more than my own craft. I'm the supportive partner. But when it comes to my own shit, yeah, fuck that. Which finally, hey, callback, which brings me back to that first quote that I read at the beginning of the episode. And it goes, being kind person means being kind to yourself. Yeah, can I actually be a supportive person if I don't even support my own self? Anyways, I don't know. I'm not trying to make a lessons or whatever. I'm just trying to reflect. I'm just trying to bring a thought at the surface. It was a combination of a moment I had in therapy that I'm like, oh, you're trying to push out an artist out of me. Oh, that's what we're doing. And then listening to this clip by Zoe Tyler. Anyways, all right, get off this chick's dick. All right, okay. So this concludes too much today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Man, fuck. I wish I could find this lozenger. Pray for me, man. Or whatever. Yeah, this concludes today's episode. Holler at me on Twitter, on these Twitter streets, at with the handle at BBlizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. Excuse me. I'm also on TikTok under B.Black. I'm on Instagram under B.Black and Shut Up Podcast. I guess I should write this down too. Eh? And I'm on Thread, but who's on Thread? But if you really want to get in touch with me, if you really want to know more about the podcast, go to shutuppodcast.com. Go to the website. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website. It's on the main page. Or go to Google while it's up and running. Google, Apple, or Amazon Podcast. Yep, boys and girls, friends and enemies, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind. Wait, hold on a second. Let me tune this for. Be kind to your favorite podcast, okay? Please.